you know, you had better days. And always remember, you've had worse days and you're still here. So I think that that's the one thing that I look at as well, where it's like, I've been through worse than this. I've been through a lot more than this, and I'm still here, so I can survive whatever it is that I'm going through right now.
In this crazy world that we are living in, sometimes all you need is a shot of sanity. Welcome to the show. I'm Aaron Atide, and I'll be your bartender for the evening.
Welcome, everybody, to another brand new episode of Shot of Sanity here on wherever you're listening to this. I don't know. I'm on like so many different platforms now. It's so awesome that this is happening. My name is Aaron Atide, and joining me once again, returning to the show, because it wouldn't be this show without her, the one and only Joy Spring. How are you doing, Parts?
What's up? I'm good. You know what? I've been in such a great mood the past few weeks because I've been doing yoga consistently almost every day. And it has changed my life. As well as, have you ever heard of nootropics, Parts?
What is nootropics?
Nootropics are basically like, it's not medicine. It's vitamins that you take for the brain. So you got nootropics to help you get up your serotonin levels. You could, you know, for your anxiety, for your depression. And it's natural and it's so good. Like, I've been taking L-theanine and omega-3, which apparently it boosts your mood and your energy and your memory and all these things, and it's done miracles for me. So nootropics. I asked my therapist about it, and she was like, yeah, go ahead, take it.
Hey, whatever works, whatever helps you get through the day, that seems like a really awesome thing to do. And if, you know, you accompany that with yoga, which does the same thing, it becomes very holistic. Look at you. You have a really amazing glow today. Like, I haven't seen you smiling this much in a long time.
And to think that I recently reached the curveball, which we were talking about before we went on air. It does wonders when you pair therapy with nootropics, with yoga, and essential oils. Parts, I have officially become an oil bulario.
Oh my goodness, who are you? Who is she?
I know.
Who is she? Seriously.
Who is she? She doesn't even go here.
Exactly. I have no questions now. Like, my entire idea for the show is completely gone. Like, this is an entirely different thing happening right now. Wow, this is amazing. I'm happy
for
you.
How about you, Parts? Thank you. How about you? How have you been?
I've been ups and downs for the past week. It's been a rough week, the first week of MECQ. I've just been happy that there's been a lot of people that have been tweeting me that they're enjoying Shot of Sanity and they're having a good time, and that's helping people, and that's really what brings me to like a really good, happy place. But the one thing that I did notice was that it might just be in my head, but the weather has really been dictating my moods. Like, the rainy weather has really glummed me down. You know what I mean?
That's so true. There's a research in the United Kingdom that says that the reason why the Brits are super moody and that they're always so sarcastic is because of the overcast weather that they always have. I forget where, but I read it somewhere. But it makes so much sense, right?
It really
does.
And
tropical people, like people in the Philippines, are always happy because we have great weather all the time. Well, most of the time.
So that got me thinking, what is your go-to rainy weather routine? Like, if it's starting to rain, the first thing that pops in your head, okay, I gotta do this.
Champurrado with tuyo, Parts.
Oh, nice.
Right? Or arroz caldo, or anything hot, soupy, I'm on that. I think that's the best. And I think literally it depends on what kind of mood I'm in. If I'm in the mood of resting, it would be nice to just kind of eat champurrado and tuyo and watch some Netflix, you know, or read a book. But then if you're feeling productive, it's so nice to do yoga and also work on music when it's raining. How about you?
I immediately made sinigang because that's like a must. If it's raining for me, there has to be sinigang immediately. I don't know if it was because of like the mood or whatever, but I kind of gave into it. So I kind of relaxed a bit. I let the rain go. I put on some nice music. I laid down on my couch or my bed, and I just thought about, you know, the world. I thought about myself. I thought about my future. And I kind of, I guess, yeah, just gave in to what was happening and what I was feeling so that I could feel it a little bit more and I could process it a little bit better. So that was kind of like my routine for the past week and a half, or week, or some sorts of time. I don't even know anymore what day it is. But yeah, it's just been kind of embracing, so to say, the emotional roller coaster that comes along with gloominess.
I think that's so important what you just said, embracing the gloominess and the thing that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, our anxiety and our depression actually heightens when we try to fight it.
Yes, exactly.
Because you feel like something's wrong with me. I have to change. I have to be better. I have to feel better. And that feeling of imperative actually puts too much pressure on you. So it makes you feel worse than you actually do. So I think it's a good first step to embrace that feeling and just let yourself go every so often. I mean, obviously, we don't want it to last for more than a week or 2 weeks where you're just feeling that way. You might need to do something that could help you feel better. But for a couple of days, if you're feeling that way because of the weather or whatever you're going through, it's good.
Yes.
It makes you feel human,
yes.
If anything.
I didn't want to pretend I was numb. You know what I mean? When you're feeling kind of down, you want to snap out of it so that you tell yourself, no, I don't feel anything. I'm fine. I'm not, you know, in essence, I'm numb. But I didn't want to feel that. I wanted to feel my feelings. I wanted to be in my thoughts. I wanted to be able to break it down. So I sat down with music going on. I had my notebook. I started thinking. It could be a life-changing week that really went through my head. And who knows, you know, who knows what'll come out of those thoughts.
I have a question. How do you get the kind of courage or bravery to feel what you're feeling? Because I think not a lot of people has the courage to allow themselves to be, to just be. For you personally, what are the things that you keep telling yourself? Para lang, you kind of have an idea of, okay, this is what is true, and this is why I'm allowed to feel this way.
The one thing that really came into my mind was, it's there. So I need to face it. I mean, I know it's easier to kind of shy away from your fears, a fear of the unknown, fear of thoughts, fear of sliding down into anxiety and depression because of these thoughts. But the moment that you start to face them and you rationalize what's going through your head and going through your heart, I think that's the biggest part of it. When I acknowledged that they were there, it was easier for me to work it through in my head and in my heart to understand what I was feeling. What about you? I mean, when you go through the same thing, when you sit down and you sit down with your book and you sometimes hold your book open, but you're really just thinking, because I do that. I do that sometimes. I just hold my book open and I just look out the window. I mean, what goes through your mind when you gotta go through those kind of moments and those kind of thoughts?
You know what? It's so simple. I just think to myself, it doesn't last forever.
Yes.
Because I've had better days. And so I remember that life really does come in seasons. And I think that's also God's grace, in my opinion. You know, having seasons of life, like there's winter, there's summer, there's fall. And the reason for that is because everything else in life has its own timing and season. Even your body has chronobiology, right? It has ultradian rhythms that go up and down and up and down. And I think remembering that it won't always be this way, whatever good or bad it is that I'm experiencing, it empowers me to think of, okay, in the future, it'll be better. In the future, I won't feel this way anymore. And then I'll feel this way again, and then I'll be better again. It's just embracing that kind of, I guess, that part of life wherein nothing is ever the same, and the only thing that's constant really is change.
I like that you said that, because I like when you said, you know, you had better days. And always remember, you've had worse days, and you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's the one thing that I look at as well, where it's like, I've been through worse than this. I've been through a lot more than this, and I'm still here. So I can survive whatever it is that I'm going through right now. And just to kind of piggyback this off into what our topic is for today, I used to have a lot of these thoughts when I was in high school and when I was in college and even when I was working. Our topic for today is a question that was sent in through the Facebook group. Shout out to our Facebook group. I feel like in my episodes, I haven't been showing them as much love, but I love each and every one of you guys there. and you guys can continuously send in your questions and, you know, your thoughts that we can talk about over there. It's a very, very long post. I don't want to go into detail, but it was revolving around something that I think me and you kind of touched on before, but we never really had like a whole episode about it. But it's about bullying. Bullying in the office scenario, in the office scenery. And this also goes for people that were bullied in high school, that it carried on over. And like, for me, I was bullied all throughout high school and college and even in work, like I'm saying, even until now, I feel like it sometimes. But what is your experience, Parts, when it comes to bullying? Were you a bully?
I think I told you.
No, you weren't.
No, no. I was never a bully. I hated bullies. And I think the reason why I hated bullies is because the whole concept of bullying is somebody who's stronger than another person tries to take advantage of them or belittle mm-hmm. them, right? Who's stronger, quote unquote, in whatever shape or form. And I always hated bullying. My experience personally was probably in high school. That's why I hated high school, because I had the worst kind of bully in high school, the kind of bully that pretended to be your friend. But
yeah,
right, but was actually a bully or a backstabber. And what happened was, you know, there was a cool girl group in school, and obviously I wasn't part of the cool girl group. There were a group of five girls, and I would always try to be in that circle, because, you know, in high school you're trying to fit in, you're trying to make friends. And I became friends with this girl, let's call her G. And okay. G would pretend to like me and, you know, be friends with me and tell me I was pretty or tell me I was smart. And then she would talk about, they had code names in their barkada that you're not allowed to know about until you become part of the barkada. So they would always talk about this girl, this Sabina, si number 7, ganito talaga yun, no? Malandi yun eh. And she's not really nice. Like, she's so dumb. And and in front of me, like, uh-huh. they would talk about this, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's a terrible thing to say about somebody, but
yeah.
but okay, I guess. And malamalaman ko that I was number 7.
Oh my God.
Right? And so they would call me a flirt because I had a lot of guy friends in high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I'm very guyish, so even in high school I was like that. And they would call me all sorts of things, especially because a lot of the older batch would try to court me, and they would call me all sorts of mean things in front of my face by using that code name. And then somebody eventually told me that I was that number.
Oh my God, I feel so bad.
Yeah, and imagine just the horror I had of this feeling of betrayal, I think, more than anything. Apart from being bullied, it's really a feeling of betrayal where you feel like you thought you had gotten into the group and actually brought in new friendships, but apparently not. So that was my experience.
I was bullied in high school because I was never the cool kid. I was never a cool kid. I still am not a cool kid. And I always had this feeling in my head that I always wanted to be a cool kid. That was a thing. I always wanted to chase being part of the cool crowd because, one, my brother was always cool, and I always wanted to be like my brother. What my brother became, I always wanted to do the same thing. When I could see that he was part of the cool crowd, I wanted to do the same thing, and it never happened. I guess it just never came off natural that I was cool, so I guess that's why I was bullied a lot. And I mean, I got into fist fights in high school. That's what happens when you go to an all-boys school. Girls are very different when they fight and when they bully. They use their words and they will
damage you.
Like, exactly. With guys, it's really like can get pretty physical. But yeah, I guess that's why me and you have always been kind of cool with each other, because we are not cool. Like, we were never cool. We were never the cool kids.
Yeah.
And we appreciated that about each other.
And I think the reason why also we have a lot of friends and not barkadas is mm-hmm. because we were never part of the cool crowd. So,
yes.
You know, you always had one or two best friends, and you're still friends with them now. Like, my best friend from grade school is still my best friend until now. Meika, my best friend from high school, is still my best friend now. It's just small circles of people and individuals that you become close with that you stick with forever. And I never had a high school barkada.
When it comes to bullying in the office, it's a very, very different situation. And I'm going to read just a little excerpt from it. The question sender goes, "There was a scenario where a task was given to me privately and the particular task is supposedly done by a team. And suddenly, after learning that it will be made solo, the quote-unquote boss called for a meeting that excluded me. There's no problem with me doing the task alone, but the action my boss exhibited made me feel a little anxious. Now, to continue, when I asked if I'm needed to join the video conference since my name was not mentioned when she posted the invitation, no one answered, and the boss kept on giving thanks to everyone, emphasizing the word team, referring to the rest of them after having the meeting. I felt disconnected and clueless about what's happening. What will you feel if you were in that situation?"
I'd slap
Being
my boss
out
in the
of
face.
Groups, man, that is so tough because that is such a big part of life. You want to feel like you belong, and if you're doing your job and they don't want you there, you feel like, I can't do my job, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
So how would you react in this situation? Aside from slapping him in the face, because obviously,
yeah.
I mean, that's the Joyce I know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I think you just gotta let it go. At this point, there's nothing else to do. Like, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna confront him? Maybe you could. I think, okay, the first thing that you have to do maybe is, if it really is something that bothers you, it's something that you could bring up to your boss. Because as a leader, it's something that they should be able to address and talk about. Now, if they're being petty, I think you just gotta let it go. Good bosses will respond in such a way and tell you, "Joyce, I'm sorry, I didn't feel like you were needed in this particular project. We didn't need your skill set and we just felt like you weren't included. You didn't need to be included." They'd be straight enough to tell you the truth. Now, if they're petty, they won't even reply to you or acknowledge what you're feeling, and all you can really do is to let go of it. I was recently listening to a podcast by Simon Sinek, and he had a guest on, and he was talking about how, you know, millennials are not jumping from one job after another just because they're entitled or they're impatient. It's also because there are a lot of companies and leaders these days that have no idea how to lead people. They only know how to manufacture people.
Ah.
And I think that makes so much sense to me. When you think about leadership and being a boss, it should be predicated on the fact that you are a steward of the lives of the people that you're leading. That you're supposed to care for them, to make them feel like they're needed in the team, for them to be able to excel in the work that's needed for them. But if you're not the leader, then I guess you're just that. You're just the boss. You're just somebody who just happened to be in the company longer than I have been, and you just have more power than me, but that doesn't make you a leader.
I absolutely agree. And I mean, we've all been in this situation where maybe my boss or your boss or somebody's boss didn't like you, but you're there and there's nothing that they can do. They can't take you out because they just don't like you. If you do your job well, they can't just be like, you gotta go. It's tough. It's tough when you don't see eye to eye with your boss and they see you in a different way. I can tell a couple stories of this happening. Even when I was starting in radio, I wasn't really one of the cool guys. I was one of the younger ones. You know, it was always such a very different dynamic with the different bosses because obviously, you know, they have a more long-running relationship with a lot of the more senior DJs. So it really took me a while to break down those barriers and change what kind of perception they might have of me. Because what I found out later on was that I came off a little too strong. Like, I wanted to become friends with everyone, and it came out like I was coming off too strong, which happens more often than not. So I guess for me, the first thing that I would do is to kind of check first how I am in the situation, because sometimes we are caught in these kind of situations and our first instinct is to look at everything external to try and understand what's happening internal. Mm. But first thing you might want to do is try and check first, how am I in the office? Am I overstepping my boundaries? Am I asking for more responsibility than I should? Am I stepping on somebody's toes because of doing that? And then if you feel like you are doing the right thing and you know your character is the way that it should be, then you try and fix the relationships that are outside to try and help yourself in the bullying. Now, what happens, Bartz, if the bullying doesn't stop? Because sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes bosses and office mates have a perception of you and they will never change it.
I think you ought to have an exit plan. Because my number one thing is always your mental health. You know, you can always find another job, but you can't buy another brain, another healthy brain where you're not being bullied and constantly forced into a negative state. And so I'm reading this book called The Body Keeps the Score by Wessel van der Kolk, and it talks about how our brain is made up of different parts, right? And we have this thing called the limbic system where all our emotions and everything that we feel are stored. Apparently, everything that we go through changes the way that our limbic system works. So our brain is so neuroplastic that every new experience has the capacity to change you as a person. And I think if you're in an environment that bullies you, that forces you into a negative state, that fills you with negative self-talk, that eventually will have long-term side effects and long-term aggravation on you as a human being, that it's not worth it staying there. I mean, obviously, it's hard to talk about that, especially during the time of pandemic. But I think there are a lot of opportunities that you could really check out. Just plan out an exit plan if it doesn't change, you know, and put your mental health and your overall health on a pedestal more than your work. Because at the end of the day, as I mentioned, you can get a new job, but you can never get a new you.
I like the fact that having an exit plan is there, because if you don't like your job right now because of this, there's going to come a time where you're going to hate your job, and it's going to be living in hell. Yeah, you're going to be stuck in living in hell and dreading waking up going to work. So my advice for you right now, with the way things are, take advantage of the fact that we're work from home. You don't need to see these people in a daily basis in the morning. You know, you still have only half a cup of coffee. You're not really woken up, and you see one of their faces and you're like, oh God, I hate this person. You don't need to go through that right now. So you can kind of focus first on the job that they are giving you. If there's jobs that they don't give it to you, and when they're supposed to, try and figure out what's going on. One thing that you can do is, that's the reason why an HR department is there. Try and see if you can set up a meeting and have a conversation with them, or have a conversation with your boss if all else fails. Now, if your boss doesn't want to talk to you, or HR doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and you kind of lined up another job that's on the way, then it might be time to pack up your box, throw in all your pictures that were on your cubicle, and it might be time to get on out of there. Because I agree with Joyce 100% that your mental health is going to take a toll. We don't know how much damage that can do until, you know, later on, and that's going to be way, way, way too late. When was the last time you felt bullying, Bartz?
Probably my first... Oh, I can't say that. I had a boss in a company that I worked for before in the entertainment industry, and she hated me for some reason. I don't know why she hated me. So much so that when Magic was trying to get me to work for them, I got a message from our boss in Magic, and he told me that somebody from my previous company had called him. Oof. Specifically saying not to hire me.
Oh, God.
Because I was a pain in the butt.
Oh, God.
And I was sure that it was this girl, because they fired me for no reason and they never talked to me again. And I just heard so many mean rumors about me. And, you know, I told our boss in Magic, I was like, boss, I wouldn't have as much work as I do now, and I wouldn't have as many connections if what she is saying is true.
That's true.
So I would want for you to take a chance on me, but if you want to listen to what other people say about me without even testing me out and seeing really how I work as a team member, as a talent, then I would respect your decision. And, you know, I'm grateful that our boss in Magic, Boss Aidu, actually took a chance on me. I stayed there for 3 years. I wasn't fired. I resigned. They didn't want me to go, but I left radio. And I still have a healthy relationship with everyone from Magic, except my ex. Please take that out.
I don't know. This funny. Is my show. This is my show. I edit this the way that I want
okay.
to.
Okay.
That's going to be the opening. That's the opening of the episode. I want you to know that.
No, but it's true. I have a good relationship with everyone that I used to work with. I don't remember the last time that I had a problem with my attitude. And if people do have a problem with my attitude or my work ethic, I love to hear it. I'd
yes.
love to hear it. Because
yes.
it's right? Because it helps you. It helps you grow. It helps you to stop sucking at your job. And I appreciate that. But if it's just bullying where somebody's going around and telling other people, oh, don't hire that girl. She's an idiot. You know, she's mean. She's hard to work with. Why would you do that? Honestly,
it's so stupid that would happen. But that's also my last bit of advice for our question sender for today. You do not want to be in the situation that Joyce is in. Because if you stay there and, you know, you're kind of irritating the bosses a little bit more as it goes on, looking for a job and asking them to be a referral is going to be very, very difficult. And that is something that HRs are always doing when you're applying for a job. They're going to ask your former employer how you were. And if you can't get a good sign-off, it's going to be difficult. So I think that if you're having problems, try and find out what it is and word it in a way that Joyce did, that you want to be better in the office arena. You want to do better for the company. So ask, like, is there anything that I can do to make things a little bit easier in the office space? Am I missing a protocol, or should I be talking to you a little bit more on things that I'm like the design or whatever? I don't know the kind of office that she was in, but maybe try and see if there's any way that you can, you know, get help from others, because that would be good for chemistry as well. And two, you'll find out where and if there's anything that you can do to improve. Now, if there's nothing that you can improve and this still happens, then you already know that it's time to pack up your bags and go.
Yeah. And I was just kidding when I said slap your boss.
Yeah, don't
obviously
do that.
Don't do that. No, but I wanted to say that more than anything, always remember to never burn bridges.
Yes.
If there is any semblance of really just being able to become friends or even just be civil with people in your office, in your work, in your career, make sure that you have healthy relationships, because your reputation will always precede you. And your reputation is the biggest and the best personal branding that you could ever get. And having a good reputation, maybe not, you're not the teacher's pet, you're not the closest to your boss, you're not the preferred employee, but as long as you have a healthy relationship with the people that you work with, that's the number one thing that you should be worried about. If there are people that are difficult to work with, guess what? There are always difficult people to work
yes.
with. We have to learn to adjust, and as Aaron mentioned, really assess, is the problem with me? If it's not, then you think about the next exit plan.
That's a fantastic final shot. My final shot is not for the person that is being bullied. My final shot is for each and every person right now that listening right now, that you might not know that you are bullying someone in your office or someone in school or one of your friends, and you think that it's just funny. Like, you know, you think that you're poking fun and it's all in good spirits and whatnot. Sometimes it's really not. Sometimes it is bullying for a lot of people. So my piece of advice is to just go on a little bit more on your life with a lot more happiness and a lot less degrading, because you might think that making fun of somebody is funny for you and your office mates, but for that person, it might be doing a lot more damage than you think.
That's right.
And that'll wrap up this episode of Shot of Sanity with Aaron Atida and Joy Spring. Please make sure that you check out the number one podcast in all of the world, really. This is scientifically proven. We checked all the charts. Adulting with Joy Spring is the number one podcast, even on Jupiter. So please make sure you check that one out. It's at Adulting with Joy Spring on Instagram, at Joyce Spring on Instagram at Shot of Sanity, and at Erin Ataide as well. We'll see you guys on her podcast, because I'm going to be guesting there in just a tiny little bit. Until then, peace and love. Bye-bye.
Balam.